I'm just going to give you a quick message about baptism. Hopefully I can bring something. I've shared this before, but this was a revelation to me, and I want to share it with you as well. How many have heard of the mikvah bath? The mikvah bath. This involved the way individuals would demonstrate their eligibility for full privileges and responsibilities within the community. This is something that the Jewish nation practiced, called the mikvah bath. In Leviticus 15, there are several ways people could become symbolically unclean, one of them being if a person were to touch a dead body, for example. They would be ceremonial unclean, and therefore they had to go through the mikvah bath to be reinstated into the society, into the community of people. And so God commanded that whenever anyone became ritually impure, we're talking ritually here, he or she would have to go to the mikvah bath in order to restore one's status in the community. And the word mikvah means gathering together or a collection. And so in time it became associated with water or the pool called the bath. And in this mikvah they would take and run living water through this bath. Because God is a living God, amen?
Amen.
And His Word is truth. His Word is alive. It's living. God spoke. God created. God chose words, amen, to create. And so this mikvah bath was something that was necessary for people to have full rights and privileges as citizens of that nation. Are you tracking so far? Now, Jesus commanded that we would baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen? And so tonight we are going to obey the Lord in this. And what baptism basically is an outward expression of an inward experience. This experience that is called being born of the Spirit, or born again, born of the Spirit of God. This is not of human origin or of human will or human willpower. Amen? It's the source of our new life in Jesus Christ is from God. You cannot work this thing. You cannot earn this thing. This free gift is given. It is something to be received. We are to be receivers. When we labor for the Lord, it is a labor of love. We are walking together in new life with Jesus Christ and serving Him in newness of life. Yeah. We don't serve Him for any other reason except that we love Him. Amen? And if we love Him, we obey His commandments. So if we don't serve, we need to question, where's my heart at? And you don't serve because somebody pressured you to serve. You don't serve because somebody made you feel guilty if you don't. You serve because you love Him. You cannot love somebody, at least not very well, that you don't know. The more that you come to know your spouse or your children or your family, people that you love, the more you're together, the more time you hang out and spend together, sharing in life together, the deeper your love usually grows in the natural. Right? The more that we spend time with the Lord in intimacy with Him, the more that we get to know Him, the more that we will love Him. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, right? And to love your neighbor as yourself. You can't love a God who you don't know, who you don't see. It was impossible for people to truly love God. I want you to hear this. It's not that we loved God, but that God first loved us. Do you see that? John talks about this. It's not that we loved God, it's that God loved us. And when the love of God broke through the veil of my heart, and the love of God came into my life, I became alive spiritually. I began to know this great lover of my soul. I began to experience a love that is beyond this world. And to know His love is to draw you into intimacy with Him. People who you really love, you will respectfully have intimacy with. Amen? And through intimacy, there is reproduction. There is fruitfulness. So this mikvah bath is a rite of passage, if you will, into citizenship. Now the Gentiles also, the non-Jewish people, if they wanted to be a citizen, a Jewish citizen, they also had to go through the mikvah bath. They had to go through the ceremonial cleansing of this bath to be a part of that society in good standing. Now, God wanted to cleanse the world from unrighteousness. And there was a worldwide mikvah bath, a worldwide cleansing called the flood, the great flood, Noah's flood, where God cut off all unrighteousness. When Noah, for 120 years, a preacher of righteousness, pleaded with people to get their heart right with God, to turn, to repent and turn back to God for mercy. When God gave opportunity for them also to come aboard the ark that they might be saved. The ark represents Jesus Christ. There is only one way, one truth, and one life. One way to the Father is through the Son. Amen?
Yes.
And so here, the world was cleansed with water. There is a witness, the Bible says in 1 John, of water on the earth. The Spirit bears witness. When we enter in, if you will, to the waters of baptism, there is a witness before heaven and before men. And the angels bear witness, and the angels confess before the Father. When Israel had been in slavery, had been in bondage under Egypt, a type of the devil, amen, and his hordes, God raised up Moses, a deliverer, to lead the people out of bondage. But they came out of bondage only by the blood of the Lamb. And then they were brought to the sea. And it was at the sea, the mikvah bath, that the enemies were drowned. But the sea was not the means of deliverance. The sea was a witness of what had already taken place when they had obeyed God and they had taken the blood of the Lamb and they had applied it to the doorposts. And when the death angel came through and he saw the blood, the Lord said, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you." So baptism is an outward testimony of what Christ has already accomplished in the heart. There are those who think if I get water baptized, that will save me. No. Water baptism is a witness and a testimony to the grace of God that has been effectual in your heart when God pulled you out of death and brought you into His life. When the light truly came on, I don't have to strive to be good enough. When you love somebody, you will do what pleases them. Yeah. And you can't know God and love God until you have come into intimacy through the new birth. Right. Otherwise, it's mechanical, it's religious, it's a striving to earn credit. If that were possible, the cross would have been a waste. That's why Paul said, "I didn't come to you with anything else. This is my message, Christ and Him crucified." And the Jews had a problem with that because they were used to living according to the rules. Loveless devotion. They were under a spirit of witchcraft and didn't even realize it. The religious leaders were controlling and manipulating them and making them feel guilty and manipulating the people to do what they want for their own personal gain. Until Jesus showed up and messed them up. He offended them. Aren't you glad? Jesus said to them, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." You think by just by all your knowledge. And you can compare yourself with somebody else because you have more knowledge than they do that you have life. He says, the problem with that is because of your own pride. He spoke to the religious people. He says, you won't come to me like you might have life. And because you say, I know, he says, therefore your sin remains. He says, why is it that the children are so quick to come? Why is it the outcast was so quickly to run to Jesus in response? You see, Jesus came to those who knew they needed a physician, who knew that they needed salvation, who knew that they could not save themselves. They had no other options. Many of them were not even allowed to be a part of that society. They were lost. They were sheep without a shepherd. But Jesus came that we might have life. Jesus came to reach down. He reached down and He picked women up and He brought them up. He says, you're going to be with me. He went out of His way to reach out to a woman who had had five husbands. He went out of His way to meet this one woman at the well. Amen? Who was a Samaritan, a half-breed. And they were looked down on by the Jewish people. Jesus went to her. Jesus demonstrated His love for us. Jesus didn't just tell us that He loved us. Jesus demonstrated that He loved us. How much does He love us? He went to that cross for you and for me. And even for the Pharisees, because there were some who did believe. And so we know that life is not a matter of my performance, but the mercy of God. And me coming to Jesus Christ and putting my faith in what Jesus has done. And from that, I step from death into life. I look at life. I look at Jesus. I look beyond death. Amen. To the third day when Jesus came up out of that grave. Hallelujah. The cross is the beginning. When we go down into the waters of baptism, we are going to bury, you see. We're saying this is what's already happened, but I am identifying myself with Jesus in His death. I'm going to bury the old man. I'm going to bury the old life. And when I come up on the other side, I'm going to be walking in new life. I'm not looking back. I'm not going back to bondage. In Galatians 3, Paul rebuked them because he says, you began in the Spirit. You began walking by faith in the grace of God, enjoying the liberty in Christ. Amen. Just walking with the Lord. And then someone came along and tried to put you right back under bondage again. He said, who has bewitched you? Do you see? There is a connection between legalism and witchcraft. Who hath bewitched you? Jesus went to the cross. Folks, this is a serious matter for God. When people try to put you in bondage and put you in their box so that they can control and manipulate you. Are you hearing me tonight? Yes. Jesus came to set people free from religion and bring them into relationship. And when you have a relationship, you will have fellowship. Amen? We'll come together and we'll praise the Lord. We'll worship God. Not be out of guilt or any other reason, but because I love. Because the love of God broke through to my heart. That's what happened in my life. The love of God broke through. And I was a changed man. Didn't know much, but I was a changed man. I knew something happened. God's still working on me. Oh. We've already. If you have received Christ, Christ is in you. The Bible says, examine yourself to make sure that you are truly born again. And if you're born again, you will be a new person. Old things will pass away. Examine yourself that you are truly born of the Spirit. And when you are born of the Spirit, you've already passed from death unto life. I've already died. And my life is hidden with Christ in God. I've already died, and my life is with Christ in God. I've passed from death into life. Those who live and believe, he said, amen, will pass from death into life. So, we need to live out of the new identity, the new person, the new life, that place of intimacy in the Spirit. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not external things that we do. But it's righteousness, being in right standing with God through the blood, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Religion robs you of joy. Or it puts you in a place where you're in such bondage that you fake joy because you don't want anybody to think that you don't have joy. Because they may think that you're less spiritual than they are. All right. If we've received anything, we just need to give God praise. Because all good gifts come down from the Father. Amen? So we give praise and we give thanks back to Him. And we offer our bodies freely as a living sacrifice for the rest of our lives to serve God. Ha. Serve the one who loved us and died for us. Even better, ever lives for us. Hallelujah. So we're going to enter into the bath, the rite of passage. You're already a citizen of heaven, but we're making a witness today, a testimony. And thank you for coming out tonight to witness this. I think this is one of the most joyous occasions. And the Lord is here. How many know that the angels of the Lord are in here tonight? The Spirit of God is here, bearing witness. Examine your own heart tonight, where you stand with the Lord. This is not a guessing game. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord will bear witness with your spirit. It didn't say that He'll give me a warm fuzzy. You can get a warm fuzzy listening to the, you know, Star Spangled Banner. But He'll bear witness with your spirit. You'll know that I've entered into life. And your life will bear witness to that fact. There will be fruit in your life.